This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:37 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Wong Xiaoning and Kusu Chuang. In half an hour, we have The Breakfast Grill. What is the topic of discussion today?
Education, or maybe the lack of it. Because today we're going to have a conversation with YB Teoni Ni Ching, who is the former Deputy Minister of Education, and Conrad Fernandez, Executive Director of LeapEd. And the reason why we're going to have this conversation is because the government decided to abolish the PT3 examination in favour of school-based assessments to determine students' performance in their studies. But this announcement came in the middle of the school year. So how will it impact school operations? Are teachers ready to rejig their syllabus to accommodate school-based assessments? And what does this mean actually for pupils who are in the middle of all this? So Philip C is going to have that conversation. Do tune in. That's going to be happening after the 8 a.m. news bulletin.
For now, though, we are turning our attention to developments in South Asia. The Sri Lankan economy continues to freefall 3 months after public protests first broke out against deteriorating economic conditions in the wake of the pandemic and years of mismanagement. Headline inflation spiked 45% in May compared to the year before, and that's the highest level since 2015 due to rising food and transport costs. If we look at food inflation individually, it rose 58% on year in May, and transport costs jumped 77% after the government raised the prices of fuel.
Yep, the crisis has crimped imports, created severe shortages of food, fuel, electricity and other essentials like medicines. And of course, we see Prime Minister Ranil Wickremesinghe, who was appointed in May to turn around the economy after protest from his predecessor, Mahinda Rajapaksa, to step down. In fact, yesterday he said that the economy has collapsed and the government cannot purchase fuel, even using cash, because of its heavy debt situation. A delegation from the IMF is in Sri Lanka for talks on a bailout package. The country is hoping to borrow about $3 billion from the IMF and reach a staff-level agreement with the lender by the end of the team's visit on June the 30th. So the question is, what does a viable path out of this economic nightmare look like for Sri Lanka?
So for an update on the situation, we speak to Dr. Chulani Atanayaka, Research Fellow at the Institute of South Asian Studies of the National University of Singapore. Chulani, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us. So Prime Minister Ranil Wickremesinghe said the Sri Lankan economy has collapsed, underscoring the dire predicament the country is in. What does this look like on the ground for the Sri Lankan population?
It is getting really difficult for the people to even attend to their day-to-day needs. So I think saying that the economy has collapsed down is not an underestimation. What you see on the ground is long queues still continuing. And of course, when I talked to some people yesterday, I was told sometimes they have to wait for over 24 hours to get fuel in the queue. And some even if with that, they get only few liters to they have limited the amount that they give fuel for people. On the other hand, food shortage continues. Medicine shortages continues. Very recently, doctors informed that they are finding it difficult to go to hospitals because of the lack of fuels. So these problems still continuing. And last week, the government decided to close down schools, universities, and government institutes for 2 weeks until they get a new shipment of fuel for the country. Power cuts continue. So situation is only getting worse day by day. It has not really improved.
Okay, so the Prime Minister was brought in to resolve the economic crisis as a result of all these years of mismanagement. And you mentioned some of these measures, but have there been other more concrete measures taken in response so far? And is it effective at all in resolving the crisis?
Well, the kind of crisis that Sri Lanka is in right now is not easy to resolve overnight. Yes, there has been some concrete measures, but I think for them to take in effect, it will take some time. For instance, a private authority was appointed to hold negotiation discussions between the creditors and Sri Lanka. So right now, those discussions are happening. with both bilateral creditors and bondholders. A certain amount of bondholders had agreed to hold discussions with Sri Lankan representatives, but there has been some others who have sued Sri Lanka in the US courts for illegally defaulting the sovereign bonds. On the other hand, bilateral discussions are happening with India, China, Japan, who are the main creditors of Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka is also seeking for IMF bailout for the first, the first face-to-face discussion is happening right now. So IMF staff arrived only early week. So we have to see how the bailout program, discussions on bailout program will come out at the end of the discussion. These things are happening, but it will take some time for them to take in effect. Apart from that, there has been UN request for UN to provide humanitarian assistance, and even has requested friendly countries to provide humanitarian assistance. While the government is doing all that, there are informal arrangements by the Sri Lankan diaspora abroad to try and provide essential medical needs for the people in the country. But as I said, it will not happen overnight. This is a severe crisis, severe state, so it will take some time to settle down.
Yeah, beyond these measures, which seems quite drastic, what is the possibility of other mitigating measures? For example, tourism, which according to the news flow seems to suggest that tourism continues to come unabated into the Sri Lankan economy.
Well, tourism, I see that the government is trying to promote tourism, but if you look at the tourism boom in Sri Lanka for the past couple of years, one major part of it was adhered to the budget travelers who came to Sri Lanka, and also travelers, YouTube travelers. The problem for them is that when they come to Sri Lanka, they do not have transport facilities because there's no fuel. And then there are huge hours of power cuts, so that they cannot, for instance, the YouTube travelers, when they come to Sri Lanka, they come as a part of their work. So they cannot continue their work while they are, if there is no electricity, no fuel to travel from one place to the other. So even though there are calls for improving tourism, these basic problems still remain. So it affects whatever the outcome that government is trying to see from tourism.
You're describing very difficult, a very difficult living situation on the ground, Chilani. What is the public sentiment, especially in response to the government plans that they know of so far? And are protests still taking place in the country in objecting to what's happening?
Protest is, at least the Goldface protest is continuing, but not in the same scale. I think after the appointment of Prime Minister Ranil Wickremesinghe, the political situation has taken a slight change. So because of that, perhaps we do not see the same amount of protest and demands in the public. But they are angry. They are frustrated. They show this in social media, sometimes even in the mainstream media. The most fearing part is how this is affecting their day-to-day living conditions, and also the fact that how this has impacted on somewhat rising crime rates. There is no statistics at the moment to show this, but the stories you hear, there is a lot of looting happening because some of these people might not be doing it as a crime, out of desperation. So I remember what Prime Minister Ranil Wickremesinghe said at the beginning of his warning. He said it will get difficult before it get better, but the it's the fact that it is getting this difficult, and how far it will go, we never know.
Chulani, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Dr. Chulani Adanayake, Research Fellow at the Institute of South Asian Studies at the National University of Singapore, giving us an update on the situation in Sri Lanka, really painting a bleak picture on the living conditions at the moment.
Yeah, I think they need $6 billion US dollars in the coming months just to prop up reserves, pay for the ballooning import bills and stabilize its currencies. There is no fuel, there's no medicine available. Carrots and cabbages are considered luxuries. That's how bad things are. But I always wonder, how fast is that slippery slope for a country to decline to this state? Who's vulnerable and what makes it vulnerable?
Yeah, it's the it's the management of the economy or the lack thereof, right?
And corruption also,
and corruption,
I'm sure,
as
right?
well.
Which a lot of countries are also facing.
Yeah, so yeah. Yeah, let's we go there. You know, let's just talk about, I guess, Sri Lanka. And the fact, if the Prime Minister over there is admitting that there's a completely collapsed, you know, it's serious, right? So I guess the mantra from here, the positivity, is that we have to relook, ourselves, and take a very close and honest look at how we are managing our own economy and whether we are making ourselves sufficiently resilient, because it's a very volatile era. There's so many black swans that we can't tell.
Exactly. And transparency is so important as well, that we know what's happening with government finances so that we can keep track of what's going on, and not when it strikes, that's when everything comes crumbling down and we find out that, hey, we've been living on a
cashing checks that we can't pay, right?
I think the other thing that's really worrying is that in Sri Lanka, Rajapaksa, the government, basically, you know, there were many family members involved in different ministries. I think somebody came up with statistics that 70% of government budget was under the control of him and his families in different ministries. So things like this, there's no check and balance that really needs to be rectified. Whether it's the media, whether it's the judiciary system, whether it's the government service, all that is critical.
It's all those related party issues. The same kind of stuff that got WeWork in trouble, right? But I just want to end with this phrase from Warren Buffett, right? He said that it's only when the tide goes out do you realize who are the people swimming naked.
Jang, jang, jang. We're taking a quick break, and when we come back, we discuss measures being taken to alleviate the rise in the cost of living. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.